title of his sermon is Christian in the Passion Week. Which one are you? Pastor Keith.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? Well, is it too warm outside that we're not used to this nice weather? It has been a crazy week. It was hot and then it's cold, it's hot again. But one thing I know for sure, standing up here, it is always warm. If you have come up here, you know that like this spot is like really, really hot. But I'm glad to be here today to worship with you. And first, I want to know how many of you observe Lent? Some of you do, right? You observe Lent. What is Lent about? Lent is this period, the 40 days before Easter Sunday, a period of reflection, a period of repentance, a period of fasting that Christians would do together to remember the work of Christ on the cross. Of course, the climax of this is on the Easter Sunday, but it is a time for us to really identify with the work of Christ did on the cross, to have solidarity with Christ. And this is also the reason why I chose this passage today, that during this time of Lent, this passage, as you can see, is focused on three different groups of people during the Passion Week. Passion Week would be the last week of Jesus. It started from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And this is what we will be focusing on today. So let's take a look at these three different groups that we're looking at. And what does that mean to us? So first, we'll start looking at the first group. First group is, we read earlier, Steve read with us, but we can read together. It says from John chapter 12, it says, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, they had heard..." Well, I can't read it now. Okay, many, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So when you think about Palm Sunday, what do you have on your mind? Right, it was a joyous occasion, right? It was very, very happy. People were very, very excited, right? Now, the reason why is there are many reasons. One reason is that all the Israelites male had to gather in Jerusalem that week for the Passover celebration. So Jerusalem usually had a population of around 50,000 at that time. During this Passover feast, the population would become like more than double. It's over 100,000 people. So people are crowded up, they were celebrating, they were excited. So when you have that situation, people need to look for things to do. Okay. Now, on this particular Palm Sunday, that they know what they were going to do. They heard about this guy named Jesus, this guy who had been known to be a great rabbi, a great prophet, a great teacher. He was coming in town. He was entering Jerusalem. But not only that, it was not too long ago that Jesus raised this guy named Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. Bethany is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So everybody heard about this, and they were so excited that they want to come out and see who this guy was. This was like Taylor Swift in town. But for the younger people, anyway. Okay, for the older people, I don't know. I don't know. Moses, what would you say? Who is in town? Moses is in town. Okay, that would be good, right? Okay. But they were excited to see this celebrity. But it was more than a celebrity. Because you take a look and see how they welcomed Jesus. It says, they used palm branches. What is palm branches? Palm branches was actually a symbol of victory. And it was a symbol of military victory, not just any kind of victory. And Hosanna. Or actually, another version says Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. So when it's Hosanna in the highest, it's meaning that God come in to save us now. A symbol of the Messiah that they had been waiting for. If you're not sure, they actually call him the King of Israel. So what were people expecting? The people were expecting a lot more than just a celebrity coming in. They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting that Jesus would be coming in town to bring them victory, to bring them a military victory, to restore the kingdom of Israel, that all the oppression, all the challenges that they had been experiencing under the Roman Empire would be washed away, that they could restore their national pride. That's what the mindset of the people was like. And for us, we also sometimes have this mindset when we look for someone like celebrity or well-known people coming in town, then we also have high expectation on them. I am from Hong Kong. So about a month ago, Hong Kong, like during the Chinese New Year, one of the big thing is the soccer match, okay? They always have a big soccer match. And this particular year, it was great because it was the first soccer match that they could have in Chinese New Year after the pandemic. So it was kind of like, oh, things are going back to normal. So guess who they got coming to town? They got Lionel Messi in the Inter Milan. Have you heard the story? Yeah, you know, right? So Lionel Messi came to Hong Kong. Everybody was going crazy. You know, just even the practice match, not even a real match, they have over 10,000 people going to watch him practice. And people pay $800 US to go and watch him. And that was actually the ticket price. So who knows how much they pay in the black market. Everybody was excited to watch Lionel Messi. I guess soccer is not that big in this country, but Lionel Messi is one of the most famous soccer player. And he just won the World Cup with Argentina about a year and a half ago. So everybody was excited. Everybody was expecting to watch Messi play. But guess what happened? All they got to see was Messi sitting on the bench for the whole game. And guess what? Look, people were upset. They said, no Messi. Refund, please. People were really upset. And the reason why people were so upset was that, like, to start with, Messi played in a game just a couple of days ago in Saudi Arabia. He played only for a few minutes, but at least he showed up. And to make things worse, 3 days later, he played in a game in Japan for 30 minutes. And on that particular day, people would say that if he showed up for 2 minutes, they would be happy. Or even at the end, he just came to the stadium and tell people that I'm sorry. People would be okay, but nothing. And people felt that generally also, of course, when things don't go well, everybody become more sensitive. Felt that like he had not been like very happy when he came to Hong Kong. He had not been very friendly. So people were so upset that one of the soccer fans actually went and kicked his head off from the display board. I don't know if you can see, right? There's like in the middle, that was Messi. And you see where Messi's head is? It was on the ground. It was like a really kung fu style kick. That this guy just kicked him and Messi's head was on the floor. Hero one day, zero the next. That's what we do. We have high expectation on people. We have high expectation. And what happened when those expectation was not met? We would say, forget it. I don't want to deal with this guy. When people place high hope on someone, the higher the hope, the stronger the response when they were disappointed. And this was what happened during this week. Because remember, there was a big crowd cheering for Jesus coming in town. There was a big crowd calling the name Jesus over Barabbas, choosing Jesus to be crucified in front of Pilate just a few days later. Because they thought that the king that was supposed to rescue them was being arrested. What is this? What happened to this guy? I placed all my hope in him. And now he got arrested? Forget it. I would rather him dead. Do we treat Jesus the same way? Do we think that Jesus is someone to help me to accomplish my dreams, to fulfill my hope? Jesus, you need to be the one to help me find a spouse. You need to be the one to help me land a good job, a great job, actually. You need to be the one to help me to know where to put my IRA. You need to be the one to help us to do whatever I want to do. Do people act like this? I could tell you that there was one time I received an email from someone that was attending my church. And he attached a picture on his email with a circle on the face of one of the sisters. And his comment is, "Can you please introduce me to this sister?" This is real. I'm not kidding. And when I told him that, no, this is what not our church is for. We are here to help you to grow and to learn God. His second email is that, like, if that's the case, I'm not coming to the church anymore. You guys are laughing at this. But do we look at God somehow in a similar way? Have you been in situations where it's like, God, I wanted this. You know that I really, really wanted this. And you don't give it to me. What's wrong? I'm not going to follow you anymore. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm going to do things that you told me not to do. Like kind of like we're fighting with our spouse. Like just, I'm just going to irritate you. Have we been in that mindset? Have we done this? Have we got to a place where, Jesus, if you're not going to help me, I'm just going to put you at the same place as so many things that I bought on Black Friday, move it up to the attic, and it's just one of the things that I have tried, and it didn't work for me. This would be the Palm Sunday Christian. And what happened to the Palm Sunday Christians? That they just let Jesus die. And as a matter of fact, when we look at the second character in this story, it's the Good Friday Christian. Guess what? Who need to go and pick up Jesus' body? You would expect one of his disciples? But no, it was that guy named Joseph. This is the guy that ended up picking up Jesus. Now, let's read this verse together. Can you just move the corner? Like, I think there's a frame into the slides. Can you just move that out? Okay, let's read that together. It's Luke 23:50. Thank you. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decisions and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had not yet been laid. This is Joseph. Now, who is this Joseph? This Joseph he was a member of the council, and someone that is probably one of the known as the Sanhedrin, which is like part of the Jewish Supreme Court, kind of like the Jewish leading legal body at that time. And if you look at John 19:38, let's talk about this Joseph. He said that who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. Secretly. So he was a Christian, but he was a secret Christian. He didn't want people to know that he was a Christian. It was very understandable, right? If you read the gospel, you know that like Jesus and the religious leaders were actually not doing great, okay? Jesus challenged them all the time, challenged them on their authority, challenged them on their teaching. So it's understandable that Joseph wanted to still mingle around among his peers, that he would still want to be there and not let people know that he was actually a follower of Jesus, because that would put him in, at a minimum, a very awkward position. But it could even get to a place where he might end up losing his position in the community. So Joseph was there. He knew what he was doing was wrong, but he also knew that this is kind of something that I had to do. Now, have we all been in a situation like that? That we knew what we were doing is wrong, but we knew it was something that we had to do. And in some ways, maybe also, just like Joseph, be a secret Christian. Have we been in a group where we saw someone was being unfairly treated or accused by a group wrongly, but you figure, I probably don't want to stand up to help this person? Have you been in a workplace where you are challenged to stand up for something that you believe in, that you are asked to work on a project that you don't agree ethically, but you probably don't want to ruffle the waters? Or in a more closer to home examples in some ways, have you been in a place where you went out to have dinner with friends and every one of them has said that, okay, let me ask the restaurant, can I pay cash and not pay sales tax? And you feel that like, oh, I probably don't want to tell them that this is not the right thing to do. Have we been in a situation like that, that we should be standing up? That we should be standing up to do what is right? And or even sometimes to stand up for the truth. And sometimes to let others know that this is because of who I believe in. Joseph was there. He knew what he was doing was wrong, but he just felt that he couldn't stand up for it. And sometimes maybe even in the case where we don't even have anybody around us, that we knew what we were doing was wrong, but we cannot stop ourselves from doing it. It could be things that we know we shouldn't be doing, things that we shouldn't be reading or watching. It could be items that we should not be buying, maybe even bitterness that we should not be holding on to, or anger that we should not express, or maybe forgiveness that we need to grant or we need to ask for. We know Joseph's predicament. We understand. We empathize. We may even agree with his action. But on this day, Joseph realized that he couldn't do it anymore. They had gone too far. They had killed Jesus. So what did Joseph do? He was a respected member of the council. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He probably regretted his inaction. As a respected member of the council, he felt that maybe he might have been able to do more. But somehow, at this time, he realized that I had to go. I had to go and ask for the body of Jesus. I am no longer afraid for them to know that I care about this man. I'm no longer afraid to be associated with him. And when we look at the gospel, we know that Joseph was mentioned in all four Gospels in a very positive way. Mark talked about it took him courage. He was courageous at that moment. And Luke talked about him, described him as a good and righteous man. He was a good guy. And Matthew actually told him that the tomb that he offered was not any tomb that he found. It was his own new tomb, something that he bought and prepared for himself. Why did all the gospel writer give him such high regards? One of the possible reasons that I was thinking of is that, like, if I were them, I would be embarrassed. But where I am, I would be admiring Joseph because none of them went to claim Jesus' body. You have to wait for Joseph to go and claim his body. Whatever it was, despite whatever he had done or he didn't do before, Joseph was ready to stand up to God on that day. But the reality is that standing up for the truth, standing up for God, is what Christians do. Jesus set a good example. He stood up for the authority at that time. Martin Luther was another example. He stood up because he saw all the corruption of the Catholic Church at that time, that he was willing to stand up for the truth. And recently, we have seen so many scandals at church, and a lot of these was being exposed. A lot of these was being addressed nowadays because someone was willing to stand up and speak the truth. Someone was no longer afraid to speak the truth. I don't know how many of us have been reading about the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, all the scandals that they had. It was very unfortunate that there were many, many cases of scandals and allegations in the SBC. And in many ways, they there were hundreds of allegations talking about how many of the church leaders have acted improperly. But the more troubling fact is not only that the leadership itself had problems, but the leadership itself tried to just move people from one community to another so that these leaders, they did not have to face the consequences of their crime. Ultimately, after the situation was exposed, the SBC decided to set up what they call a Caring Well initiative. It was supposed to help churches to feel that they could become safe, to help people to know that the churches were addressing this problem. But unfortunately, this particular initiative served more like a window dressing, just to help people to understand, oh, we're doing something, don't worry about it. Finally, Russell Moore, who was at that time the president of the legislative branch of the SBC, decided that he couldn't take it anymore. On one of these Caring Well initiatives conference, he went up on stage with a sister who was representing, she was a lawyer, who was representing one of the abuse victims. And they went up and exposed all the troubling facts. In this particular case, it was about how they have trying to use publication to make this sister, to portray this sister as consensual in the sexual abuse case. So they got up there. They'd exposed the story. And Russell Moore, this is what he said when he came back down, and he said that, I came away from these conversations with the leaders there with the distinct feeling that I was being told, you have got a nice little commission there. Would be a shame if something happened to it. The presenting issue here is that first and foremost of sexual abuse. This executive committee, through their bylaws and work groups, exonerated churches in a spur of the moment meeting from serious charges of sexual abuse cover-up. He finally couldn't take it anymore. He eventually resigned from the SBC. There are situations that we need to stand up for what is right. We need to stand up to expose what is wrong. We need to be willing to take responsibility for speaking the truth, for standing up for God. And if there is a time that we need to do this, now is the time. We see around us how divisive this world is right now. We see around us to see how so many people, I think Steve prayed and talked about college campuses, they saw Christians in a very negative light. This is the time that we need to stand up to help the world around us to understand what is a Christian, who we believe in, how we are called to be the peacemaker, how we are to stand up for the truth of God everywhere, including wherever you are, to stand up for God. This is the Good Friday Christian. Joseph started out as a guy in fear to become a guy that's willing to stand up for the truth. Now, the Passion Week continues. We come to Easter Sunday in a passage that we are very familiar with. Let's read these verses together. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." We all know what story this is. This is the Easter story that we'll be celebrating at the end of this month. But there's one thing that always puzzled me. Why did these women go to visit Jesus so early? The Gospel of John telling us that they were actually going to visit Jesus while it was still dark. It was not the safest things for a group of women to be doing at that time. And also, they knew that there would be a big stone there. There's nothing they could do to remove that stone. And the purpose of their visit was to anoint Jesus. And that was a practice, a ritual at that time for people to anoint the body of the dead before their burial. But because Jesus was crucified on the day of when the Sabbath began, they couldn't do it. So they had to go that day. So I understand why they needed to go. But why so early? You know that you couldn't go in because the stone was still there. It was dangerous. But why? It took me a while to understand why. I finally understood why when, during the time that both my parents passed away. They passed away both because of strokes. And I was in the States. They were in Hong Kong. So by the time I got back to Hong Kong, I couldn't talk to them. They were both in a coma. And they were just there, sleeping. Well, they were just there on the hospital bed with no hope of recovering by then. So rationally, there was nothing I could do. But somehow, my sister and I, we sat in the hospital, in front of their bed, as much as I could, all day. And even when they say that you cannot be here in this room anymore, my sister and I, we sat outside, just by the room, just nearby, just because we want to be in the presence of our parents. At that moment, I understood why these ladies wanted to be there. Not because there's much that they could actually do. They realized that they just wanted to be there with Jesus. That's all they wanted. Even though Jesus was there, they just want to be there with him. And when you see how the relationship with these women with Jesus were described compared to all the disciples, you would understand why. These women, they have all experienced life-changing miracles from Jesus. These women, they were all there because they just wanted to be there. They were not like the disciples. The disciples were fighting to be who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were trying to figure out, Jesus, I want to be on your left, on your right when you come into this kingdom. These women had always been there because they wanted to be close to Jesus. They wanted to serve Jesus. They just want to be in Jesus' presence. And because of their openness to Christ, their willingness to serve him, guess what? They had the privilege to become the first group to know of the great news of Christ's resurrection. This was the first group of people in this earth to understand what the gospel message is about. What a privilege that was for them. They were the Easter Sunday Christians. That they were able to experience this resurrecting power because of their desire to spend time with Christ. What about us? Do we want to spend time with Christ? Do we want to spend time with Christ because we can get something from him? Or are we afraid of letting people know that I'm a Christian because of how they look at us? Or are we just like these women that want to be with God so that we can come to see this amazing power of the gospel, that we're able to see the glory and the power of our Lord, a power that can overcome death, a power that helps us to live in hope? There was a young boy, his name is James. He grew up in a Christian family. But just like many of our young people nowadays, he looked around and he was very troubled by what he saw. He saw that so many people around him was not living a life that he saw what a Christian life should be. He was very skeptical because he saw the inconsistency of the people around him. So he tried really, really hard to say that, God, I really want to know you. I really want to become a Christian. But somehow he was frustrated by what he saw. But one day, suddenly, when he was just cleaning the attic or something, he continued to say that, God, I want to pursue you. Please help me. And he found a track. On the track, it said the phrase, the finished work of Christ. It was at that moment that he understood the idea that by Christ dying on the cross and coming alive again, the work was finished. There was nothing in the world for us to do because all the work that is needed for our salvation was accomplished at that moment. Just like the woman, he just wanted to spend time with God. And in that moment, God revealed himself to him, help him to understand what this gospel is. And from that day on, his life was changed. He ended up becoming a missionary, going to China. This boy, James, his name was James Hudson Taylor. Do you know who he was? If your family, actually it was a Christian family before they came to the States, they probably have been impacted by his ministry in one way or another. He was one of the most influential missionary going to China. Just like us, just like many of our young people, he was skeptical. But by opening his heart to God, by not letting go, by continuing to asking God to show him who he truly is. God revealed himself to him and transformed his life. And through him, millions of life was being transformed. This is the Easter Sunday Christian. So, as we observe Lent, let's take a look at these three groups. We have the crowds on Palm Sunday. That's the Palm Sunday Christian. We have Joseph on Good Friday. And we have the women on Resurrection Sunday. Which group are you? The woman on Resurrection Sunday, they wanted to be with Christ. So much that they understood that they were not there like the Palm Sunday ones, that they just wanted to be there with Christ because of Christ. And they also know that they didn't have to be in fear, that they would love to be in the Lord's presence. Today, we'll be taking communion together. It is a time for us to reflect. Reflect on our relationship with God. Reflect on who we are as believers in Christ. Are there moments that we still count and see Jesus as our genie? That he would just fulfill my dreams? Or do we want to be part of God's plan, that we help God to bring his plan to reality? Or are you going through situations, you're like Joseph, that you knew that there are things that you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing it anyway? Or you feel embarrassed for people to know that you are a Christian? It is a time for us to reflect and to ask God for his forgiveness and be willing to stand up for God. Or are you like the woman on Resurrection Sunday, that you enjoy Christ's presence and you allow that presence to bless you? So let's take this moment, as we have Steve to play some music for us, to think about who you are. And then we will pray and partake in communion together.